Amen. My text for this evening is found in verse 2 of Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and the verse 2. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Tonight, I want to consider the conversion of this woman in the Bible, known as Mary Magdalene. The verses, the first four verses of Luke chapter 8, set before us some of the women who followed Jesus and ministered to Jesus during his ministry. Some of them are mentioned. Verse 3, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others. And among them is mentioned Mary Magdalene in verse 2. She is called Mary Magdalene to distinguish her from other Marys mentioned in the New Testament. We know that the mother of Jesus was called Mary, and we know that she was alive right up to the crucifixion because she was at the cross, and the Lord spoke to John and he said, "Behold thy mother, and woman, behold thy son." So there was Mary, the mother of the Lord. Then there was Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha. And the Lord often abode at their house and would be provided a meal for at their house. It was there that Martha was troubled about many things and she was cumbered with much serving. But Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That was Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. So you have Mary, the mother of Jesus. You have Mary of Bethany. You have also Mary, the mother of James the Less. That is the apostle of the Lord. There were two James who were apostles of the Lord. There was James and John. They were brothers, the sons of thunder. And then there was Mary, the mother of James the Less. She was the wife of Cleophas, again another follower of the Lord, and she was at the cross too. So there were three Marys. There are some others, as you read on, not in the Gospels, but in the book of Acts, you have Mary, the mother of John Mark. So quite a number of Marys. But this Mary, she's termed Mary Magdalene to distinguish her from those other Marys. This is a different Mary. It's not the mother of the Lord. It's not Mary of Bethany who anointed the Lord's feet and sat at his feet listening to the word. It's not Mary, the mother of James the Less. It's Mary Magdalene. Magdala was a village on the coast, the west coast of the Sea of Galilee, between Tiberias and Capernaum. And we believe that this Mary was from the town of Magdala, and that's why she was called Mary Magdalene. And at some point, we can't be exactly sure, the Bible doesn't pinpoint the time. There are conversions. There are many conversions in the book of Luke. And we can pinpoint the exact time of the individual's conversion. For example, the thief. The thief on the cross was converted as he hung on the tree dying beside the Savior. Zacchaeus, he was converted when the Savior went to his home. For the Savior said in Luke 19, "This day is salvation come to this house." It was that day that Zacchaeus was converted and saved and experienced God's salvation. It was the day in the temple that the publican was converted. The Lord said, "This man, the publican, the sinner, went away justified." He'd come into the temple a sinner. He called on the Lord, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he went away justified. That was the day of his salvation. We can pinpoint the exact day And while there was a specific time in Mary's experience that she became a Christian and a follower of the Lord, we can't pinpoint exactly when it was from the scriptural record because it isn't given. But at some point, Mary was converted to Christ and became a follower of Him. And tonight, I want us just to consider a number of lessons from the conversion of Mary Magdalene. I want you firstly to consider Mary and the devils. Look at verse 2. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. At some point in this woman's life, she came under the direct control, influence, and possession of the devil by being possessed by seven demonic powers or spirits. Let me stress again tonight that while every sinner, I need to emphasize it really clearly, every sinner is under the influence of the devil. Not every sinner is possessed by the devil, but Mary was. The Bible talks about the devil as the god of this world, the one who has blinded the minds of them that believe not. He is, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And those who are disobeying the gospel, those who are rejecting the gospel, those who are in rebellion against the gospel, the spirit of this age, the devil, is influencing them to reject the gospel. But that doesn't mean they're possessed. However, as you read the scriptures and the New Testament record, you particularly notice that there were individuals who were possessed of the devil and of devils. We're not told when this took place in Mary's life. But at some stage, seven fallen demonic beings entered into her soul or her life and took complete control. Furthermore, we are not told how that specifically manifested itself in Mary. We're not told how she specifically acted or behaved, given over to seven devils. Some have speculated that she was a harlot, woman of the night, but there's no direct biblical evidence to prove that. However, I believe that we can be general tonight in our application. Because what the Bible does reveal is how others behaved when they were possessed with devils. What happened in their lives. And I have no doubt that the same general principles or manifestations took place in Mary's life that took place in their lives. Demonic possession resulted in sin. It resulted in suffering, and it resulted in great sorrow. We read tonight from Luke chapter 8, and if you read on in this chapter, no doubt many will be familiar with it. You will read about the Savior's ministry in Gadara. We preached on it a while ago in our morning meetings, the Savior's ministry in Gadara. And there you read of a man who was possessed with a legion of evil spirits. And what do we read about him from verse 27 to verse 40? We read that he was possessed of a legion of devils. We read that he rejected the Lord. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of the Most High? We read how he terrorized society. He chased everyone away. We read that he couldn't be tamed by man. We read that he was chained and fettered. His was a life given over to wreck and to ruin and to sin, a rejection of the Lord, criminal activity, pestering society so that they tried to restrain him. He was given over to sin. And I don't know what sin in particular Mary Magdalene was given to work, but I have no doubt the possessed of those seven devils, she rejected the gospel. She rejected the Lord. She rejected his ways. And she lived a very sinful life under the influence and control of the devil and demonic powers. Leads to sin. Led to suffering. The demonic of Gadara is another example. I think it's Mark chapter 5 in Mark's account. You read how he took the stones and he cut himself. And he harmed himself, possessed with those spirits. The devil only wants us to harm ourselves. He's not out for our good. He doesn't want our good. No, he's out for harm. There's another example. If you turn to Mark chapter 9, and here a father brought his son first to the disciples to see if they could cast the devil out, and they could not. So he waited for the Lord coming down the Mount of Transfiguration. And he asked the Lord to help, and the Lord was going to cast the devil out of his young son. And it tells us a number of things. It tells us in Mark 9 verse 18, I spake to thy disciples and they could not cast him out. Tells us wheresoever he taketh him, that is the devil. Wherever the devil takes my son, he teareth him and he foameth and gnasheth with the teeth and pineth away. This young man under the influence and control of the devil, he was a miserable creature. He was in great sorrow and anguish. You'll see in verse 26, when the Lord called him to come unto him, the spirit cried and rent him sore. He rent him. At times he would have cast him into the fire. And he would have rent him, and he sought to bring great suffering to his life. That's what the devil does. He brings nothing but suffering to those under his sway. He promises the good time. He promises the golden years. But he brings suffering. He brings grief. He brings misery. In Matthew chapter 15, you read about the Canaanite woman. And she brought her daughter to the Lord. And we read in verse 22, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, that's Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She was grievously vexed. He doesn't bring glory. He doesn't bring greatness. He brings grief. She was grievously vexed of the devil. And I have no doubt Mary Magdalene was the same. A life given over to sin. A life full of suffering. And a life for her and for her family of sorrow. The Canaanite woman cried, Lord, have mercy on me. Because vexed with the devil, her daughter brought her nothing but sorrow. Nothing but grief. And it was the same for Legion's family. The same for the father of the demon-possessed boy in Mark chapter 9. Lives being destroyed. Families at their wits' end. Because the devil has charge of a life And Mary was under that same demonic influence and control. She let the devil get a foothold in her life. We're not told how. But I have no doubt it manifested itself in sin, suffering, and sorrow. And how many are the same? They've allowed the devil to get a foothold in their life. Maybe they're not possessed, but it's almost as if the devil's in control. And their lives are miserable, at a loose end in sin, brought to sorrow and grief, bringing wreck and ruin all around. To tell you, that's what the devil does to a life. That's what he'll do to you if you allow him. Mary and the devils, out of whom went seven devils. Those seven devils had been in her. And no doubt it caused her much distress, much depravity. But I want you, secondly, this evening to consider Mary and the deliverer. Look at verse 2. It tells us out of whom went seven devils. There was a time. There was a specific time, a moment, an instant when those devils went out of Mary. If you turn back to Mark chapter 16, you will see the means by which those devils went out of Mary. Mark 16 is a resurrection scene. By this time, Mary is a convert. She's a follower of the Lord. And she was the first with several other women at the tomb. She wanted to anoint the Lord's body. And she was distraught at the death of Jesus. And the Lord was the first to reveal himself to Mary. He revealed himself first to Mary Magdalene. But in verse 9 of Mark 16, we read these words. Now, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he, notice that wee word he, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Luke tells us those seven devils had gone out of her. And Mark tells us that it was Jesus who had cast the devils out. It was the Lord who liberated this woman. Mary didn't reform her own life. She didn't drive the devils out herself. She didn't deliver herself. It was the Lord Jesus Christ at some moment, at some point in her life's experience, though she was under the control and under the influence of the devil, possessed of him, at some stage she met the Lord and he cast them out. We should never fear, as God's people, we should never fear taking the gospel to anyone or any place. It might be the worst of places. It might be the worst of individuals who are under the control and influence of the devil and are rebels to God. But the gospel in Jesus Christ has the power to cast the devil out and make that individual, the new creature, born again of the Spirit of God, and bring them to the place where they become a repentant sinner and a follower of Christ. No, we should be willing and ready and able to take the gospel to any person in any place, because even under the control of the devil, the Lord can cast the devil out. We're not told when Mary met the Lord. But it is mentioned in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 39 about a specific visit the Lord made to Magdala. The last verse of Matthew 15, verse 39, he had just fed the 4,000. He had healed the woman of Canaan's daughter, cast the devil out of her. Matthew 15 and verse 9, it tells us he sent away the multitude and took ship. How often did the Lord get in the little fishing vessel and sail across the Sea of Galilee. It says he took ship and came into the coasts of Magdala. That was on the west coast of Galilee, between Capernaum on the north and Tiberias in the southwest. That little town or village called Magdala. And the Savior went there. And I wonder when the Savior went to that place. Was it to find Mary to cast out the devils? She met the Lord. I can't be sure about this. I can't be 100% dogmatic about it. But I'm saying the Lord came at a particular time to Magdala. And there did he find Mary filled with seven devils. And he cast them out. Praise the Lord, meeting Christ makes the difference. That's what the sinner needs. Sinner doesn't need church ordinances. Doesn't need sacraments. They'll only heap judgment upon their head. The sinner needs to meet with Christ. And meeting with Christ made the difference. For the Lord cast out the devils. He alone can free from the devil's snare. He alone can free from the devil's curse. He alone can deliver the soul from sin. The fact that Christ cast out the seven devils from Mary, it speaks to us about his authority. There's a hymn in our hymn book, Jesus, the name high over all. In hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. The Lord Jesus Christ, as Creator and God of all, He has authority and power as our Creator, but He is the conqueror, He is the deliverer. He is the name that is high over all because He died on Calvary. And at Calvary, do you know what He did? He spoiled principalities and powers. He defeated the devil. He bruised and crushed his head. And He made a show of them openly. There's a lovely verse in Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And it tells us in verse 20 and verse 21, speaking of Christ. He's the head of the body, the church. In verse 20 we read, having made peace through the blood of His cross, He made peace for sinners, pacified the Father's just and holy wrath toward and for sin by the blood of the cross. Having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they are things in heaven or things in earth. Note verse 21. And you, who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Now let me check my reference here. It's Colossians chapter 2. I'm so taken up with preaching, I've missed the reference altogether, and I'm even in the wrong chapter, but not to mind. That's a wonderful verse about the Lord making peace by the cross and reconciling us to Himself. But look at chapter 2. He's still speaking about the cross. He's still speaking about the work of the cross in Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. He's still speaking about the work of the cross. Look at verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over hell and the powers of hell. He triumphed over Satan and Satan's angels in the work of the cross, and He made a show of them openly, that He has conquered them and triumphed over them, and therefore He has authority over them, and He could cast them out. My friend, He has authority to save the worst of sinners. And He not only has authority over the devil and the powers of darkness by the work of His cross, He has the ability to save those that are so low in sin. The devil takes a man and he brings him low. He strips him of everything he has. He leaves him as a miserable, pitiful wretch in sin. And you would think there's no hope for that individual. There's no human hope. But the Lord can save the worst of sinners, for he saved Mary and he drove the devils out of her. She didn't deliver herself. She didn't reform her life. No, the Savior sent them out. He saved her. He delivered her. He redeemed her. And he is able to do the same for you. Oh, is there someone in your home or in your family? Is there someone in your community and you've prayed for them, but it seems to be the devil has full control over them, and there's no human help for them? Praise God, we know a man who can help them. We know one that can lift them. As Michael sung, we know one that can touch them and he can save them. His name is Jesus. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Mary met the deliverer and he saved her soul and he made her a new creature. And that brings me to my final point tonight. We've noticed Mary and the devil. Mary and the deliverer. Mary and her devotion. We are told much more about Mary after her conversion than before it. And isn't that the way it should be? Our life for the Lord, once we're saved, it should be all about Christ, and we should hear more and we should see more about men and women serving the Lord after they're converted than hearing them hark back to what they used to be or what they once did or once were in their sin. Their life should all be about service for the Lord. And there's one word that sums up Mary's Christian life, and it's the word devotion. In Luke chapter 8, the chapter that we read, we see that she followed the Lord. It tells us that it came to pass afterward, verse 1, that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And there were certain women which were with him and ministered unto him. They followed him as he preached through the towns and the cities and the villages, and they came right the way to Jerusalem, and she followed him right to the cross. I'll not take time to turn the passage up, but Matthew 27, 55 and 56 tells us she followed him right to Calvary. She followed him all the way. She went with him all the way. My friend, are you following Jesus? Whatever the cost is, wherever he leads, I'll go with him through the garden, the hymn writer said. Mary went with him right to Calvary. Where he may lead me, I will go. Are you following the Lord wherever he leads? Whatever it costs. She followed the Lord. He says she supported the Lord. Look at the end of verse 3 of Luke chapter 8, which ministered unto him of their substance. That group of women, from their substance, their possessions, their wealth, whether it was great or little, from their possessions and their wealth, their substance, they took the portion of it and they ministered unto the Lord with it. They sacrificed their substance to support the Lord. It may have been providing a meal. It may have been giving of their finances to support his ongoing itinerant ministry. But they supported the Lord in a practical way. And why not? After all, the Lord had cast out those seven devils. He had given her a new life. He had redeemed her soul and given her eternal life. Was it too much to ask that she support the Lord in return? It was Jacob who at Bethel, the Lord telling him that he would be with him, that he would keep him, that he would prosper him, having saved him and showed him the gospel, that Jacob and that he would bring him back again to his father's house in peace. That Jacob said, "If the Lord do all this for me, a tenth of all that I have will be the Lord's." Oh, these are just some of the marks of those that are devoted to Christ. They follow the Lord. They support the Lord and His cause. And Mary, of course, she loved the Lord. We read last Sunday morning from John chapter 20, the scene of the resurrection. The angel asked Mary at the tomb, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She wept because she loved the Lord. And the thought that not only He had died and was buried, but the thought that someone might have stolen His body away, it moved her to tears because she loved Him. And love for Christ is one of the great marks of a soul that has been redeemed. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, maranatha." Love for the Lord, one of the great marks of redemption. Mary loved the Lord. Mary supported the Lord. Mary followed the Lord. Her life was one of devotion to Christ. After He had saved her soul, cast out those seven devils. Is your life devoted to the Lord? Do you love Him? Do you support His cause? Are you following Him? Following Him where He leads you. What a wonderful conversion. What a wonderful lady. We trust that Mary's conversion will be a blessing to you.